Thank you. Okay. That's a very good ending for me to start on. I've read Shri Guru Granth Sahib in the last few years. I read every day in the morning, the first thing in the morning. And I can say that it has been a great journey. Sometimes I wasn't able to read because I was traveling and I didn't want to carry Guru Granth Sahib with me. But most of the days when I was at my place, I read. And each day when I read, it was a wonderful day. And I would recommend very strongly to all of you that if you haven't read Guru Granth Sahib, take some part of your life to go through it. You might spend 2 years, you might spend 5 years. Do not worry about this. Read even one page, read 2 pages, doesn't matter. But every day when you read what you were saying about the word, you sense the sense of empowerment which you feel. The second point I want to make is that I have 5 big notes, big books, which I've taken down on the notes on my reading of Guru Granth Sahib. Hopefully I'll write a book one day. But today I have to be very brief in sharing with you my thoughts on reading Shri Guru Granth Sahib, because we have very limited amount of time. So I'll focus only on 3 points. One, on what Shri Guru Granth Sahib is as a holy scripture in the history of religious thought in the Indian subcontinent. Two, what is the core message of Guru Granth Sahib, as I understand? And third, what is the relationship of Guru Gobind Singh to Guru Granth Sahib? So coming to the first one, to start with Guru Nanak, he was the founder of the Sikh faith. I wasn't expecting the audience to be like this. I thought it would be audience which will not know. So there will be few things which are already known to you. But I think it will be difficult to change the script. He was born in 1469 and followed by 9 gurus. Shri Guru Granth Sahib was compiled by the 5th guru by including the writings of all the previous gurus and his own. The maximum number of hymns, 2,208, are by Guru Arjan Dev, followed by 974 hymns by Guru Nanak. Now, it's very interesting to remember that when Guru Arjan Dev was compiling the scripture, a word had gone around the vast Indian subcontinent. Remember, it's not India, Pakistan of the present. It was India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, all that was Indian subcontinent. Had gone around that vast subcontinent that a major religious scripture was being compiled. And writings of many saints and spiritual leaders were presented and considered for inclusion in the Granth. And Guru Arjan Dev himself took the initiative to look at the writings, like, for example, Baba Fried, obviously, who was in the 16th century. Some of the writings were not considered equal. For example, Shah Sen's writings were presented, and he came to Gurus and presented his writings. Guru said that his writings were not of the caliber which can be included. So very careful thought went into what every word was included in the Guru Granth Sahib. And Guru Arjan Dev did a momentous work. Anyone who has edited a book would know what a difficult task it is. And in Guru Granth Sahib, there is one line for one scholar or one saint. That one line is equally important to 2,000 lines of someone else. That is the greatness of Guru Arjan Dev's work in compiling Shri Guru Granth Sahib. And based on the spiritual and philosophical merits of the writings, Guru Arjan included in the Granth the teachings of many Hindu bhaktas and Muslim Sufi saints. So in my view, Shri Guru Granth Sahib is a repository of the highest level of spiritual wisdom and advanced social vision in the late 16th and early 17th century India. The first copy of Guru Granth Sahib, which was then known as Adi Granth, was installed under the personal supervision of Shri Guru Arjan Dev in Harmandir Sahib on August 16, 1604. I was born on August 15, and I wish I was born on August 16. And the 10th Guru, Guru Gobind Singh, then added 115 hymns by the 9th Guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur, which some people say include one of his own, which is Bal Hua Bandhan Chote, but there is a controversy. I won't go into that. Now, coming to the second aspect of my presentation, about the central message of Guru Granth Sahib. The central message of the alternative worldview of the Sikh gurus, articulated and which resonates in the bani of the Bhaktas and of the Sufi saints, whose poetry was included in Shri Guru Granth Sahib, is of egalitarianism. That's one point on which I want to focus my presentation, that how egalitarianism runs through systematically through all the writings and the teachings of Guru Granth Sahib. And I want to later on bring it up to the level in the world in which we live. Guru Nanak attacked the two oppressive powers of the time with his message of egalitarianism. When I look at Guru Nanak, I think of him. He was alone when he stood against two very, very big powers, huge, mighty Mughal power on one side and a huge ancient Varnashram of the Brahmanical system. He stood against both. He was alone, single person to start with. It's a different matter that the power of his teaching then attracted to. But you have to imagine the power which we had. People who are great believers, they think that he knew he was God, so he wasn't afraid of confronting them. But that's one way of looking at. But for me, that's a source of inspiration, that you can be single person, but you can stand against such mighty powers. He attacked the two oppressive powers of the time, this message of egalitarianism. One was political power of the Mughal Empire of Babur, and the other was the social power of the hierarchical Brahmanical order of Varnashram. Both these oppressive powers shared another socially inegalitarian order of patriarchy. In the alternative worldview of Sri Guru Granth Sahib, and I want to emphasize this, it's an alternative worldview, it's a different paradigm. It's not simply another religious scripture. It is a parallel alternative paradigm which was being constructed in Guru Granth Sahib. All human beings are equal without distinctions of caste and gender. That was the alternative worldview. In attacking the politically oppressive power of the Mughal tyranny, Guru Nanak even castigates God. That is his greatness. He stands up to God also. When in Babarwani, Guru Nanak says, Eti mar pai kurlane, tanki dardan aaya. It was only Guru Nanak who could even question God. He could even castigate God, that when the victims were crying with pain due to barbaric torture, did you not feel the pain? In contrasting the egalitarian worldview of Guru Granth Sahib with inegalitarian social order of Brahmanical Varnashram, there's a continuing running theme in Shri Guru Granth Sahib about the critique of caste system. And my books, my notebooks, once they are prepared into a book, will bring out this. One scholar calls Guru Granth Sahib as an emancipatory narrative beyond two hegemonies of the time, Vedic and the Mughal. And now coming to the core of the vision articulated by Shri Guru Granth Sahib that clashed with Brahmanical Hindu social order was equality of all human beings. That's where it clashed with the old Brahmanical Varnashram paradigm. This equality has two dimensions, spiritual and social. Shri Guru Granth Sahib celebrates the spiritual equality of all human beings in the eyes of God. This vision of Shri Guru Granth Sahib was then actualized as social equality through innovations of social institutions such as the langar, community kitchen where food is prepared collectively, and pangat, all sitting together in the same row without distinctions of high and low while partaking the collectively cooked food. This was a severe blow to untouchability and the hierarchical caste system which was central to the theology and practice of the majority Brahmanical Hindu religion of that time. This concept of equality was carried into the architectural design of the place of worship, Gurdwara, where Shri Guru Granth Sahib resides, and into the rules of access to these places of worship, where all human beings had equal rights to entry, worship, and the opportunity to listen to the recitation of Shri Guru Granth Sahib. This vision of equality is also captured through what I would like to characterize as the trilogy of the commonly accepted moral code enunciated in Shri Guru Granth Sahib. This trilogy is Kirt Karani, Vand Ke Shakna, and Naam Japna. It's Pai Gurdas who summed up the entire teachings of Shri Guru Granth Sahib in this trilogy. This doesn't occur in Guru Granth Sahib, but Pai Gurdas, who is, as we all know, is accepted as an authentic interpreter of Gurbani. And he's one of the very few, along with Pai Nandalal, whose writings are used in Harmandir Sahib. This astrology consists of Kirtkarani, earning one's livelihood by laboring activity. Vand ke shakna, sharing the fruits of one's labor with others. And Naam Japna, reciting God's name. The first part of the astrology, Kirtkarani, earning one's livelihood by laboring activity, raises the moral and social status of those who do manual labor, and is a critique of those who earn their living by appropriating the fruits of labor of others. This was also an attack on the caste system, where those who performed manual labor were considered lowly in the old Varna ashram, and those who performed priestly intellectual duties were considered superior. The second part of the astrology, Vand ke Shakna, sharing the fruits of one's labor with others, is a celebration of the ethics of sharing and endorsement of the morality of egalitarianism. The third part of the astrology, Naam Japna, reciting God's name, has two connotations. One of spiritual equality, that is all beings equal while reciting God's name. And two, that this Naam Japna is not an isolated meditative activity, but integrally related to the two other parts of the astrology, that is Kirtkarani and Vand ke Shakna. Now I want to spend one more minute on explaining this. What is the significance of this? That why Naam Japna is integrally related with Kirtkarani and Vand ke Shakna? This is the importance of Grihasthi. That in the old Hindu tradition, renunciation of this world was considered as a way of reaching God. Guru Nanak attacked that. He said, while you are living the life of a life householder, Grihasthi, that time you have to be godly, that time you have to be a saint. And that's what Guru Gobind Singh later on also said about saint soldier. So Naam Japna is not simply doing meditation. Naam Japna, accompanied by Kirtkarani and Vand Shakna, is an integral part of the philosophy of Sri Guru Granth Sahib. This brings me to the moral universe of Sri Guru Granth Sahib against exploitation. This comes out most clearly in the Shabd on Maya. There are two meanings of Maya, one referring to illusion and the other to money. And it is the context that makes it clear what meaning is being referred to Maya. When you read Guru Granth Sahib, those who have already read, they would know about it, that Maya occurs in very different places. And there are two main meanings of this. One is Maya as an illusion, and one is money, Maya as money or wealth. Regarding money as wealth or money, a very powerful shabd is, which many of you would know, it's on page 417. Papaan baaj hove nahi, moya saath na jai. Wealth cannot be accumulated without committing sins and does not go with you after your death. That is where Guru Granth Sahib talks about Maya, and Guru Granth Sahib makes a critique of Maya. In that sense, the moral universe of Sri Guru Granth Sahib is not compatible with money, wealth, capital, property accumulation, which is an essential characteristic of all inequality-promoting economic systems. So Guru Granth Sahib's teachings are not compatible with an economic system where there's inequality based on accumulation of wealth and money and capital. Employing the egalitarian and emancipatory narrative, Guru Granth Sahib contained the sharpest attack on gender inequality in medieval India. Now, we all know about feminist movement and the great achievements of the feminist movement, but in the 15th century, to talk about equal status of women was a great revolution. And Guru Nanak taps the mass consciousness of the feudal era, where the king is supposed to be the supreme, and then he argues, "So kyon manda akhiye jit jamme rajan." Why consider her the lowly who has given birth to the kings? Now, I want to emphasize here that that does not mean that Guru Nanak views kings very favorably. In fact, there are passages and passages where Guru Nanak condemns those who have big horses and elephants and jewelry and, you know, and the kings and the lords. But he's merely raising a troubling question to those whose worldview values the kings as worth respecting. That those of you who view the kings, I don't view the kings as valuable, but those of you who view the kings as valuable, why do you consider her lowly who's given birth to the kings? So he uses the metaphor in order to convey that meaning of his teachings at the level of mass consciousness. on the ecological message of Shri Guru Granth Sahib, which in my view is extremely important, and I'm working on this. In the era of global climate change and the threat of global warming, I want to touch upon, it's merely a touch upon because we have very limited time, Shri Guru Granth Sahib's teachings on respect for nature. This respect for nature is in conformity with the message of egalitarianism. It doesn't mean that the two things are two separate things, that one is respect for egalitarianism and the respect for nature. I see they are connected with each other. Here, spirituality and social egalitarianism blend together in a marvelous manner. And how do they blend? The egalitarian here goes beyond human egalitarianism, as Shri Guru Granth Sahib's vision encompasses all living beings, human and non-human, where even non-human beings are also considered equal to living beings. And this is what the modern ecologists called bio-egalitarianism, that all forms of life are equal. Human beings do not have privilege over non-human living beings. And there's a massive discussion going on, loss of biodiversity, and there's a new research which is going on called Anthropocene, which means that human beings have become so vicious towards nature, they are finishing so many varieties of species. And therefore, we have to adopt an ethics of bio-egalitarianism. And this is what Guru Granth Sahib's teachings are, and that's what egalitarianism and respect for nature mean. To enmesh the human and the non-human into the web of interconnected life, Guru Nanak represents the elements of nature as human beings. He empowers nature, air as teacher, water as father, earth as a mother. That's where the egalitarianism in nature and the egalitarianism in social are brought together. How much? Finally, I want to say a few words about the relationship between Guru Gobind Singh and Shri Guru Granth Sahib. Okay. All of us, a majority of us, we know that Guru Gobind Singh had composed his own Granth called Dasam Granth, about which there is an unresolved controversy whether it consists entirely of the writings of Guru Gobind Singh or there had been deliberate interpolations into it. Nilanjan asked me that I should speak on this. But I think it is an important subject, but it involves so many complicated arguments that we do not have any time. I will say what I think about it, but I will not think that that is the final word. However, this controversy is ever resolved, if it is resolved at all, one thing is uncontroversial, that Guru Gobind Singh gave the status of Guru to Guru Granth Sahib. In the final days of his life, when one of his close disciples, Pai Nandlal, asked Guru Gobind Singh about who would follow him as a guru after him, Guru Gobind Singh immediately responded that Guru Granth Sahib would be the embodiment of all the gurus as it contains the essence of the guru's teachings. Guru Gobind Singh raised the shabd, the word, to the status of the guru. One most enduring and historic contribution of Guru Gobind Singh in carrying further the Shri Guru Granth Sahib's ideal of equality was the creation of Khalsa. Any man or woman taking the baptismal ceremony to become Khalsa was required to abandon his or her caste name. I come from a Gill family. When I was a child, my name was written as Pritam Singh Gill. But when I was about 17, 18 years old, I became aware of Sikhi and also became aware of Marxism. Both speak about I abandoned Gill part of me. I just Pritam Singh Gill. I'm very proud that I am close to the Guru's teachings and the Gill part is gone. Any man or woman taking the baptismal ceremony to become Khalsa was required to abandon his or her old caste name. All baptized men are required to have Singh and all baptized women Kaur as their surnames. Retrospectively, not now, when we look back, we can only imagine the severe blow this would have dealt to the seemingly impregnable caste system. And the most well-known, you also mentioned, the most well-known lines of Guru Gobind Singh against casteism is worth repeating here. He had said, Manas ki jaat sabbe ek pehchanbo. Regarding the caste of human beings, recognize that they're all one. Today, when we are remembering Guru Gobind Singh and the teachings of Guru Granth Sahib, on which he conferred the status of embodiment of Guru, if we can contribute to making the world around us as equal and sustainable, with due humility, we can make some claim to have followed the path shown by the great Guru and Sri Guru Granth Sahib. Thank you.